I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. We're the Juggies, live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, they are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Awville.
Yeah.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, Michael Lombardi will join us, NFL insider for radio.com, as we talk about the NFL season, which, look, they're going to be in training camp soon. I don't know when these teams are officially starting, but
pretty soon.
I know some of the players or the rookies are supposed to report and all that sort of thing, so it should get going pretty soon, although we're not going to have preseason games, but we'll get into that with Michael Lombardi coming up at 8 o'clock a little bit later. Charlie Slows will join us at 9:20, voice of the Washington Nationals.
How's it going to work since they're not in a bubble per se? Is the NFL going to allow, like, our reporters out there to at least get some video and that sort of thing, like the camera guys? Are they going to be out there to be, you know, even just to see a glimpse of them, you know, Dwayne Haskins dropping back? You know, are we going to get to see some of that stuff, the B-roll footage?
I'm going to guess we're going to get very limited footage.
Maybe Julie can put it out there. The Redskins can put it out there.
Yeah, we'll get some from the Redskins. I've already seen Julie doing interviews. She did an interview with Ryan Kerrigan over the weekend, I believe.
Yeah, I saw that. But, I mean, I'm talking about game, like practice footage.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll get a little bit, but I doubt you're going to get as much. I mean, look what the Nationals have done.
It's probably going to be in-house.
Yeah, the Nationals do these Zoom calls.
Right.
So that'll probably be the access.
Cakes, you all crash the Nats Zoom calls with all the local beat reporters.
You're dead on accurate. You're 1,000% accurate.
That's
got to
be more comfortable than being in the clubhouse. Being in the clubhouse is the worst. But a Zoom call, that's easy.
No, I'm going to pass.
You're passing?
I'm going to let you take care of that.
Yeah, no, I'm passing.
Yeah, it sounds like it's right up your alley.
No.
All right, let's open up the Junkie Sports page, which is sponsored by our friends at Van Meter Homes. Go to vanmeterhomes.com today and let their family build a home for yours. We will talk to Charlie Slows at 9:20 about the Nationals, but to fill you in, they are 1-2 right now, off to a 1-2 start. Yesterday, Patrick Corbin pitched a gem. They didn't have these expectations, but he ended up retiring 19 out of 21 Yankees batters.
Yeah.
In a 6 1/3, 75-pitch outing.
Yeah.
He struck out 8 and drew 7 ground ball outs.
I mean, he was balling.
Collecting 13 swing and 11 called strikes along the way. He absolutely had it, but then he gives up a home run to Gleyber Torres, who hits a ton of them, and they took him out. Will Harris came on. He gives up the second home run of the inning. And then Doolittle comes in, and he gives up a leadoff walk, one out single, and a two out RBI hit by Torres in the top of the 8th.
It was just kind of a mess.
The Yankees take the finale 3-2 and took 2 out of 3. From the Nationals.
I will say, as a, you know, watching that unfold, it was kind of distressing, but we've seen it many times. But as when they tied it up, you know, before they gave up the third run there, I was kind of depressed about the idea of starting, you know, the 10th inning with a guy on second. I just didn't like that idea. That felt like it just added obviously an element of flukiness to it that I didn't like, but that's what we were looking at. And I think I read, did I read somewhere somebody complaining about it? One of the pitchers
yes,
complaining about it? I can't remember for what team.
Yeah.
They had just endured it, and he just talked about it as the most ridiculous thing he's ever seen. But, you know, if you're used to youth baseball or youth softball, you know, they do that kind of thing.
Like I said the other day, it just feels gimmicky.
Yeah, totally.
But you do get used to things because the shootout in the NHL is gimmicky, and that's how it, we decide games in the regular season. They don't do it in the postseason, yeah. But in the regular season, they'll have that five-minute overtime, and if nobody scores, they do the wacky shootout.
Right. The idea is because – I don't quite understand. Is it because the condensed
they're using this year as a season?
No,
I think they're basically using this year as a year of experiment. And since
this can't be a long-term solution.
And they want to speed up the game, they're going to go with that at least for this season.
Ugh.
And if they like it, they might go with it beyond.
So it's simply an experiment. It's not because they want the guys together less or anything like that.
I don't think so. I think they're using it as an experiment, much like the DH is for all the teams now.
Right.
I mean, is that saving you from coronavirus, having a full-time DH?
I don't know. Instead of having a pitcher's bat? I don't know.
A couple of Nationals notes. So Steven Strasburg hasn't pitched for him yet.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be a big deal. They're holding out hope that he's going to be able to start here in the next couple of days. He was scratched on Saturday because of a right wrist impingement, which apparently created a nerve problem in his hand.
That would make me nervous.
Yeah, they said that he didn't have the proper feel for his pitches. And had irritation in the hand, so he received a cortisone injection Friday. Said he began to feel better on Saturday, and he could play catch today. So that's kind of what's going on.
What is tennis elbow? Does anybody know what that is? Is that just sort of inflammation, like tendonitis in your elbow?
Dr. Drab, paging Dr. Drab.
I thought it was just tendonitis.
Because I have it so bad that I was lifting yesterday. I can't do any overhead presses over like 40 pounds, and it just kills in my – I could do like two reps, and then by the third one, the blood's flowing in there, and it just – it kills in the right elbow. What is that? Is that a nerve that's being impinged?
Get on the Google.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I have your diagnosis. Old.
No, it's I know it stems from chopping the wood, okay. And then you know if I get a big piece, no, it's 100% because when I get a big piece that I can't cut and I hit it like five times, it just reverberates up my arm, right?
So, so many vibrations in your handle.
There's no question that that's where I damaged it, but now I can't. It's weird. I could do like two reps, and then all of a sudden it starts filling. It's like it fills up with blood. I'm guessing. Around there, and it just kills. What is that?
I'll buy it.
I mean, how much wood are you chopping?
I've chopped so much wood, dude.
Really?
Oh yeah. I would say probably at least a. If I got a half cord, yeah, at least a cord of
wood. Are you just getting ready for winter? Because I mean, you can't be lighting fires when it's 94 degrees outside.
I know. I'm desperate to have a fire, but it's too
hot. What are you doing?
No, but I had my guy from Monster Tree Service, my guy Alva and his crew out there, and I got to chop up the wood.
Can that guy buy a schedule on the station already?
I think he is. Good. He's talking to Courtney. Yeah,
very good.
Yeah, well, Eric, I think we're gonna get him.
Why don't you get one of those straps on your elbow?
Yeah, I've had one of those before because this will flare up on me. But yeah, it's just really distressing when you're just trying to work out.
I was talking to a guy on Saturday who was wearing one of those just like on both elbows around town.
He said it helps.
He said it was the greatest thing that he's ever done. It changed his life.
It changed his life.
Is this like a Brett Favre Copperfit bit?
Yeah, no,
Copperfit.
He makes
something like that.
He's at the farmer's market. He makes bread for a living. So he's kneading dough all the time, I think.
He's got hurting tennis elbow.
Pummeled
I love
his arms.
How Drab has the inside skinny at farmer's market.
Yeah, Are you still doing the farmer's market?
He's got marble rye elbow.
Are you still doing it?
Yeah, man. I haven't missed a Saturday yet.
He's selling the sausage.
Plan my vacations around it.
And you enjoy it because you bring home all this extra food that you're trading?
I had a grill out yesterday with my neighbors.
And what were you grilling?
Sausages. Corn.
Right.
Oh, nice.
Kinds of crap.
Hey, when you grill corn on the grill, do you put it in foil? Do you put it right on the racks?
We've never done it in tin foil.
I don't know what to do.
I don't know if that's the correct way. That's what we've done. Is that what you did?
Well, first off, I don't even have a grill yet. I did ask for one for my birthday.
Okay.
Sounds hard. My neighbor, he put it in tinfoil yesterday.
Yeah, okay. He put it in tinfoil, I think. I think that's the correct way.
All right, I gave you the Strasburg news. On the other end of the spectrum, we've got Juan Soto, and he had to re-enter quarantine on Thursday. As of yesterday, the team didn't have any test results from the Major League Baseball lab, which is in Salt Lake City.
Oh.
Soto needs two negative tests 24 hours apart to be asymptomatic for at least 72 hours. Then he has to complete at least one antibody test following the positive diagnosis, undergo a cardiac evaluation from a team physician, receive an assessment from a team physician. So he's still in that quarantine.
You know what
process.
I'm doing if I'm Mike Rizzo? I'm marching into the learner's suite, and I'm saying, you know what? We're not sending our tests to Salt Lake City.
I can't imagine we're gonna, a more inefficient
way. We're
going to
open a lab on Half Street, and I'll walk Juan Soto's test down there my freaking self.
Yeah,
that's what we're going to do.
That's not going to work.
Salt Lake City.
Are you kidding?
How far away that is.
I mean, even if they fly it there, it's going to take a day to
get
there.
Send the test to Utah.
I mean,
come on. There has to be a better way.
Yeah, that's crazy. They need to have regional offices at
I mean, Utah is nice. It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
I've been there. I've seen it. I saw some of the crowd shots during PLL over the weekend. A beautiful spot.
Yes.
But let's send the test to Bethesda or somewhere in D.C., okay?
Right.
There's LabCorps everywhere. Are you kidding me?
Well, Martinez,
what sort of system is this?
Davey Martinez, the manager, said he's concerned. He said, we tried to push him to get as many at-bats as possible when he missed so much time because he was in a quarantine beforehand. Got him up to 20-something at-bats, and now all of a sudden we kind of have to start over.
If I were Davey, I'd be concerned too because I have 60 games and my best player is sidelined because you're sending your test results three time zones away.
Yeah.
That's just madness.
That is a nugget for me. I did not realize they had to get it back from Utah. And that's not like something like you could digitally send it. Like you got to send the blood.
Right.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 is the number. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As we were talking about the Nationals, one of the other guys that I really pay attention to in the major leagues popped into my head. So the Nationals got their issues. They're 1-2. No big deal. Like I said, now you've got 16 teams getting there in the Major League Baseball playoffs. If the Nats can't get into the playoffs this year, then they're having a horrendous year. But we're talking about Strasburg, and, you know, he's got the nerve issue, and we're talking about Soto, who's got the coronavirus issue. How about my guy Shohei Ohtani? Shohei Ohtani is the two-way player. And I'm fascinated by it. I root for him. He's been actually a pretty damn good hitter in the major leagues. Last year, even though he was coming back from Tommy John, when he was playing, he hit .285, had 18 home runs. The year before, he hit 22 home runs, right around .285 as well. So he's been a pretty good hitter in terms of pitching. When he's had a chance, he's done all right. But his first outing this year, here's what happened. First hitter, single. Next hitter, walk. Next hitter, walk. Next hitter, walk. Next hitter, single. Next hitter, single. Showers. Six batters. Didn't retire an out.
Well, you know what it is.
Is a tremendously bad start.
It's a Trevor Rosenthal deal. He's you know, coming back from Tommy John. It's not easy. The control, right, is that they always say that control is the hardest thing to harness.
Only half of his 30 pitches were for strikes. It was just an ugly performance.
Well, apparently he wasn't great with control beforehand. So if you went back to 2018, he was walking a tremendous amount of hitters. He walked 10.4% of batters faced in his 51 and two-thirds innings. In 2018, here he was hitting 94.7 miles an hour. So he's still throwing heat. But like you said, if you can't control it, what good is that?
Well, he maxed at 94.7.
Okay.
His fastball averaged 92.7, which is like 4 miles an hour slower than what he was throwing it in 2018.
That's still pretty damn good. It's maybe not elite, but if you're throwing 90 miles
an hour. I saw Garrett Cole was hitting 99 on his fastball in the opening night against the Nats.
Okay. Garrett Cole didn't look like he missed a beat.
I mean, that's a big difference.
Okay, but Garrett Cole's the best.
Yeah.
He's the absolute best. You're acting like there aren't guys that – dude, 93 is not bad. There are plenty of guys.
But it's not overpowering.
It's not bad, but it's not great when you're losing 4 miles off of your fastball in a span of 2 years.
So I'm actually Googling Trevor Rosenthal. Do you know where he is right now?
Ooh, where in the world is Trevor Rosenthal?
I feel like some organization signed him.
I think he's been on about three or four organizations since the Nationals.
Is he in the majors?
I'm going to guess he's in the Brewers organization.
He signed a minor league contract with the Royals.
Ah, that's right, the Royals.
The Royals. So I don't know where he is right this second, but he signed something with the Royals in March of 2020. So
anyway,
I was fawning over him when we had him.
Well, he was so nice.
Had him in person was in West Palm. He was just so nice.
So
he
dreamy.
Was dreamy. He had amazing hair.
Great teeth.
Perfect teeth.
Great
he was
teeth.
Our guy.
Yeah.
And then it just all went up in smoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Silly what are you going to do?
Remember,
how many of our guys have gone up in smoke?
It's a lot of
so
them.
Many times over the years.
A lot of the guys we latch onto.
In March was Eric Thames, and I think he had two big strikeouts in key moments yesterday.
That's early. We're three games in.
I'm not blaming the guy, but I was just like, oh, man, hope we didn't jinx that dude.
Speaking of guys, is Jamal Adams now Drab's guy?
I guess
he's
got to be.
He's definitely clearly Drab's guy.
Drab, what do you
gotta
think?
He's got to be. I'm pumped, man. I mean,
he's one of the best safeties in the NFL.
Yeah. Now, sounds like a clown off the field, and he's a big baby.
But you don't care about him off the field. You care about what he does on the field for your Drab Hawks.
You don't think that's a pricey, giving up two first-round picks, a pricey
move? No, I don't
move?
Care about that at all, because the Seahawks are atrocious at drafting, especially in rounds one and early two. They always trade down. They'll trade from, like, 27 to 34, and then they'll take some guy – every time the analyst goes, whoa.
They'll take a guard. They'll take a guard out of, like, Boise State that nobody's ever heard of.
Not even. They'll say, whoa, that guy was ranked 78th in our draft profile here. Seahawks take him at 24. I'm over that. And then they never work out.
It's a lot for safety. I can't remember. I was in my car, and it was one of the CBS sports radio hosts. It might have been our guy, John Kincaid. And he just kept saying over and over, he's like, that he's like, you can have him. You can have him.
Well, he didn't like playing for a loser. And everyone keeps saying he's a safety. He only lined up in safety like 30% of the time.
Yeah, he lines up everywhere.
He's all over the place. So,
no, but I think the you can have him is coming from the aspect of his character, that he's just a guy that, you know, wanted out and causing crap, I guess, with the coach and the organization there in New York. Anybody really supports Adam Gase. But
well, he trashed everybody. Wasn't he trashing the owner last week, and then he was trashing the GM? I think there's who was it? Somebody on radio, I think it was JT the Brick, was just complaining about this is how you do it now. You can't just ask for a trade and get traded. You just have to trash everyone in the organization.
It's called the AWOD move.
Yeah,
you scorched earth everything around you, and it should work out. Now, I don't know if it really works out for AWOD, but a lot of other people have adopted that. And use that tack.
Did Adam have another shift this past weekend?
Yeah, he was on Saturday.
I heard him over the weekend.
Somebody actually tweeted me that he was doing pretty well. And then, I don't know, maybe he smashed into a wall or something. Because I had other people then say, no, started out hot and then kind of ran out of gas. You know.
I don't know. Valdez was hyping him up.
He was?
Says he's the most prepared host on the station.
Oh, what? Get out of here.
He said that. He may not have the talent or the brains, but he's got an outline.
He does? Good for him. Good for him. Well, he's got to execute on it. I'm glad he's doing it.
That's the next step. I'm kind of a quiet AWOD mark. You're a lieutenant in the AWOD army? I like to check in for about 10 minutes during a show. 10 to 20 minutes, just kind of see what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then,
does he ever hook you in for the whole ride?
No, usually I got to go watch golf or something.
Right. I mean, you have things to do.
Yeah, I got things to do. But I check in every now and then, see what he's doing.
I don't want to bore people with golf talk when Tiger's not involved or any of the big names. But I have to say that Michael Thompson is a guy that's way under my radar, and he won this weekend.
Well, he's under everybody's radar. Right. Former Lakers center?
No. And it's his second win. Apparently,
Plays
I won in like 7 years. But I got to tell you, Valdez, I follow the golf pretty closely. Now, I'm not in a pool, so that's a guy way under my radar. I mean.
Well, it's one of those guys where he's a grinder.
Totally, but I thought I knew most of the grinders.
He only had, I think he won like that Franklin Templeton shootout. That's his only win on the year. Yeah. But this win hooks him because it allows him to play in the U.S. Open, PGA Championship.
Oh, you get into everything.
The FedEx playoffs. So the win's huge for the Michael Thompsons of the world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what's sick is so I think he won like 1 point something million, right? Which is kind of standard on tour. But so I barely heard of this guy, and I follow golf pretty closely.
Oh, you're going to talk about his career earnings?
Yeah, his career earnings. Yeah. They said it was 10% of his career. So he's made over $10 million in a career. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup until yesterday.
He's made $8.9 million on tour this year. That's without the win yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Which is crazy.
You know, he had a solo second at the U.S. Open when it was at like Olympic Club.
Yeah, he's just not on my radar, man, at all.
I've said this about golfers for the last 10-plus years. Michael Thompson should send Tiger half of his purse.
Oh, yeah.
He should just ship it to him and say, thank you for letting me win this ungodly amount of money.
And then it was a side story is that Tony Finau is just becoming the Sunday choker.
He
can't close. He's a 54-hole wonder, and then Sunday he disappears.
Yeah, and he fired his caddy, and I think he had a swing coach on the bag this week. His brother's going to be on the bag in the future now. So he's
clearly
grasping. What
do guys fire caddies for?
You just want a different.
You want a different face out
feel.
There, JP.
It's a different feel. You know, it's
a different vibe on the bag.
Just a different vibe. You got to imagine guys get sick of each other.
Does caddy give him a bad read?
No,
I think most of the time the caddy's reads are probably like all the same. Like at that level. They're all good caddies,
but I think now
it's just about the vibe on your bag,
100%.
And if you get along with the person, if it matches your character,
can you drink beers with them post round?
Right.
Well, you know, the caddies aren't allowed in those rooms. You know, it's a shame. At least as of a few years ago, I don't know if they changed. I don't believe they've changed it. But some of these caddies are making $500,000 to $1 million a year in endorsements and everything else. And they're not even allowed in those players-only, areas where they eat and that sort of thing. They got to hang out over in the caddy shed. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, the caddy shack.
Yeah.
Everyone's hanging out.
Yeah. It's crazy.
They're second-class citizens.
A lot of these guys make good money.
I'm sure they do.
But they're truly treated like second-class citizens.
When are the majors coming up? That's when I'll pay attention. The schedule is wacky, right? Two weeks.
Soon. So next week is the WGC Memphis.
Right.
Okay. And then
I don't care about that.
And then I'm not sure if there's a tournament after that, but it's the PGA Championship.
No, I think the PGA Championship is right after.
Yeah, right after at Hardin Park. And you should care because it's the top 100 players in the world. It's a silly tournament.
So all the big sillies
are going to be in it.
I listened to the Hank Haney podcast, okay? Hank got kicked off of Sirius because he made some joke about Koreans or something. And
right.
They kicked him off. So he still does his podcast. And he's got a co-host, this kid out in Minnesota.
Minnesota Tim.
Inside geeky golf right here.
I know.
So nuts.
This is what happens on our show.
There's a reason. I'm coming to something.
Let me just point out that we're going to mention Michael Thompson for like 5 seconds, and we're now like 5 minutes deep into golf geeky.
All right,
Minnesota
hold on.
Tim.
I'm getting Minnesota Tim. I'm getting to a point. Minnesota Tim this weekend had the theory that Phil Mickelson basically hates the PGA Tour at this point, and that he's kind of self-sabotaging to make a point of how silly the setup is and some of the things. Remember when he putted from 78 yards right. out last week?
Yes.
And
who
you know,
could forget?
He's had a few incidents like that. Like I think he laid up on a par three to kind of show how absurd the setup is. And he says he has inside sources that I don't know if you heard this, Valdez, that Phil is going to sign a mega deal with that competing golf tour
PGL
that's been rumored, and that Phil we are seeing Phil's last days on the PGA Tour.
Whoopie deal.
Dude,
that's a huge story.
Dude, it could be a huge story. If that happens, if they pay Phil like $50 million or something to be the face of the competing golf tour,
got some stake in it or something.
I can tell you this: if they pay Phil Mickelson $50 million to be the face of their golf tour, that's going to be the most short-lived golf tour of all time.
Because
they're going to go straight in the toilet.
Well,
are you kidding me?
They've done the math. They've figured out whatever they need to do.
Okay.
Yeah, but so did the AAF.
Good luck with best of luck with that.
What's right. the premise behind this tournament, this league? Like, how are you guys getting paid again?
All right, so it's going to be like the top 30 guys or top 50 guys or whatever, and I think it'll be like a 3-day tournament. I think it'll be no cuts,
right?
Big prize money, and so like you're guaranteed to see the big sillies every tournament. You know, you go out and you buy tickets and you want to go see Tiger. Tiger misses the cut. Now you're bitter.
And then I think also they're trying to institute some more team golf events, too.
I think maybe there might be some element of that, yeah. But it's just like get the big name guys, give them guaranteed money, essentially. No cuts. 3-day tournament, so there's a little less. You know, and that kind of thing. So you know you're going to see big sillies every week. And I think it's only like 18 tournaments or something like that. That was the preliminary plan that was rumored before Corona really just ruined everything for everyone. So we'll see. Could be seeing the last of Phil Mickelson on the PGA Tour. That's a long way of getting there from Michael Thompson, but that's where I was going.
According to Minnesota Tim.
Yeah, Minnesota Tim.
Minnesota Tim.
Minnesota Tim.
Minnesota Fats greater than Minnesota Tim. That's a very old reference.
Minnesota Tim struggles with the ladies, too. Shocker.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Eric's a B1 of the Hank Haney podcast.
I listen to the Hank Haney podcast.
I know you do.
Yeah, I like
it. All right, let's take a break. Phone number is 800-636-1067. Remember, we'll talk to Michael Lombardi about the Washington football team, Alex Smith, and more coming up at 8 o'clock here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Earlier in the show, we were talking about Alex Smith. Took some calls from Redskins fans on whether they want to see him on the field. We can open up the lines once again at 800-636-1067. But here's the deal. NFL training camps are set open tomorrow, from what I can see. All of the NFL camps are eligible to open tomorrow, July 28th. You know, they got rid of the Pro Football Hall of Fame game, which was scheduled for August 6th. Looks like we're going to have no preseason games. And instead of, you know, usually camps open at different times for different teams and different locations. It looks like everything's just going to open up July 28th. At least that's the plan. So that is tomorrow. And the plan for Alex Smith is he's going to meet with team doctors. His personal doctors have given him the thumbs up to return to football activities. In fact, he talked about being surprised. They said he could go snowboarding, he could go skiing, he could do whatever he wants. They believe that the bone has healed and his leg is good to go. And we threw it out there. Do you even want to see him? 800-636-1067. So I think there are two ways to look at it. You can think about his personal health and you just think of him as a person. He's a good guy. We saw this family that you just don't want him to risk it because of that in life. And then you can also see it as a Redskins thing where you don't want to see him because you want to see Haskins develop and he could muck it up.
Well, I want to see the personal redemption, right? So I want to see him complete the comeback. I know there are a lot of people out there, and I'm one of them, that's worried about the long-term implications of what if, God forbid, you know, a helmet hits that knee or leg and it snaps again, and we could be right in the same spot. He could really seriously risk losing that leg or worse. So I have those same concerns I think that a lot of people do. But I want to see him complete this comeback, and yet I don't really want him to be the starting quarterback of my football team at this point. I'm all in on Dwayne Haskins. We've invested in him. It wasn't necessarily who I wanted, but I'm all in on him. He's our guy. He's our young quarterback. And I need Haskins to play. I could see Alex Smith in a backup role, although that's why they brought in Kyle Allen. I don't really know how they're going to make this triumvirate work. You know, most teams only keep two quarterbacks these days. Three is kind of rare. It's a luxury. Maybe with coronavirus and everything, it'll be more incentive to keep an extra quarterback. But in terms of personal redemption and completing the comeback, it would be one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. I want him to do it. But in terms of do I want him to be the starting quarterback of my football team at this point, after having not played in 2 years and after having spent a first-round pick on a quarterback? No. I want Dwayne Haskins to be the guy.
There's also the element that he has a $21.4 million cap hit against your salary cap, which
complicates
things.
That's going to happen anyway, right?
Yeah, but that, I mean, if he's there, you almost feel pressured if you're Ron Rivera to at least give him a look, to at least let him compete for the job. I mean, he's soaking up $20+ million of your salary cap. So I think if you question Ron Rivera, you know, like off the record, if you asked him, do you want Alex Smith back in the mix? He would probably privately say no.
But what if he's
he
the
brought
best?
In Kyle Allen. He wants to see Haskins
Don't
develop.
Don't you think he just wants to win?
Yeah, I mean, what if he's the best, Cakes? What if, all right, he gets cleared by the doctors. They don't pull off some unethical thing. He's been cleared by his personal doctors. The Redskins team doctors concur. They say there's no reason to keep you off the football field. So now he's allowed to practice. And they start practicing. And when they start doing the dropbacks, his footwork is the best. His throws on the out patterns are the best.
I don't know if
his
he's going to be the best. I don't know if he's going to be the best at this point, especially
I know that
after the layoff
be.
That
I know
he's
that
had.
He may not be. What I'm saying is, what if he was? Would you be open to that possibility?
I mean, I guess if he was, then Rivera has to consider him. But I just don't see any future for Alex Smith here past this season. There's no way it really works. So what? To me, it's like a waste of time.
What
doing
if
doing anything
future?
With him?
Here would be the future, and I'm not saying that this is going to happen. Here's the future. Haskins is a bust, so he maybe starts 5 games, and then Rivera taps out on him. He's just like, you know what? It's just not going to work out. And I know you might say, well, 5 games isn't enough, but let's just say Rivera, who did not draft him, has seen enough of Haskins. He just not developed. He may look slimmer, but he's throwing picks. He just looks bad. And then he goes to Alex Smith, who's healthy enough to play, and Alex starts winning games for him. Well, now all of a sudden you may have a future if you're winning games with Alex Smith.
Right. Here's my question for Cakes. If Alex Smith is 30, do you have the same opinion? He missed 2 years, had the same exact injury, but he's 30, not 36.
Probably have the same opinion. I just feel like that catastrophic of an injury is going to be very tough for him to come back from.
Right.
And I'm sorry, his play had eroded even before his injury. It just had. Go look at the numbers he was putting up with this
well,
team
you could
before
make
he went down with the injury.
Had they eroded, or was it a new quarterback and a new system? Maybe it was just the new system, and he was being very, very conservative, and he didn't have a lot of weapons, and he was just trying to do the smart thing and protect the football and win.
I like the Alex Smith story. I'm rooting for his personal comeback. I'm just not that sold on him being an every week starter in 2020 and beyond.
I'm with you.
I'm just not.
I'm with you, but there's a part of me that would love to see him come out there and just ball, right? Just for the personal redemption.
I just don't think he's capable of that any longer. Yeah. I don't think he was capable of that when he showed up here in Washington.
But they were winning games, Cakes, and in those 10 games, if you look at the numbers.
They weren't winning games because of Alex Smith.
Yeah, the thing about the conservative thing is, EB, that's in his DNA. He's just a conservative quarterback. Mm-hmm. So in 10 games, he had 10 touchdowns, 5 picks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's completing 62% of his passes.
Believe me, I wasn't thrilled with the production by any stretch, but I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because he's, you know, 15-year pro, whatever, and he was just, you know, he was still acclimating himself. I think we had even heard those reports that he wasn't quite comfortable yet with all the, you know, the options there in within the offense. And let's be frank, he didn't have a lot of weapons.
He was going to throw for, and in modern-day football, it's crazy, if he played all 16 games, he was going to throw for about 3,500 yards.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, it wasn't lighting the world on fire by any stretch. I mean, there were a lot of people that were unhappy with his play. But he's an incredible guy, and you want to see him complete the comeback. I would like to see him complete it, but in a backup role. But I don't even know that he could beat out Kyle Allen. You know, J.P. Finley just tweeted this. You know, I think he wrote about it or he did a story about it, about how, you know, was it just a few months ago that when Rivera was first asked about Haskins, he was kind of talking about Kyle Allen a lot,
right?
You know? So I wonder if that isn't one of the big pushes for Haskins, is he saw they're bringing Kyle Allen in, and he saw, you know, what Alex Smith was doing, you know, and he really, really felt pushed.
By the way, in 5 of his 10 games playing for the Washington football team, the team formerly known as the Redskins, he was under 200 yards passing.
Yeah.
Half of them.
Well, I mean, who did he have? Honestly, who were his weapons? Paul Richardson?
Oh,
I mean, who did he have? A banged up Jordan Reed?
What a horrible signing Paul Richardson was.
Josh Doctson? I mean, he had nothing.
Understood.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones.
Yeah. Let's go to our guy Mo in Largo. Mo, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I get what you're saying, you know, wanting to see the comeback. You know,
don't you?
Completion. I mean, I like him to be able to play. I just don't need him starting for my team. Like, I need to see my young quarterback develop. And to be honest with you, I mean, I get it. That's his passion in life. But, I mean, that man had his wife sleeping in a hospital for a year. And then waking up, going back to get the kids straight. I mean, that's a hell of a strain on a marriage. And I think to potentially put yourself in that situation again, I think you kind of got to reevaluate that. You know what I'm saying? Because you were lucky to live through the first one. You know what I'm saying? I mean, personally, right. I think there's a little bit of selfish ambition there. But I get it because he's a competitor. He's a professional athlete. So I understand that. But as far as the Redskins fan, I'd like to see development of Haskins. And if not, then we just move on. But I'm good with the whole Alex Smith.
But what if you see the development and you move on from Dwayne and then you have that option of Alex Smith?
I mean, I guess for backup, yes. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I do want my team to win. So, you know, I want the best, you know, option at the helm. But as far as right now and where we're moving as an organization, I think our focus needs to be on the development of Haskins.
Thank you, Mo.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank
you. It's just impossible to know because we haven't seen, you know, no one's really seen him. You see a few clips, you're running around. We need to see, where's he at? I mean, is he even better than Kyle Allen? You know, I don't even know.
I mean, I think he's going to obviously have the most knowledge. He has the experience.
Did they carve up that leg to at least get that extra tissue off so at least it looks normal?
I don't know what it looks like.
I thought they said they were going to do that. They were going to kind of shave some of that excess tissue off and just make it so, you know, it looks good.
The last I saw him, he's wearing like tights over it.
Yeah.
Like when he was working out in Hawaii.
I mean, I don't want to be shallow, but all those clumpy muscles or whatever that they slapped on there, we got to clean that up.
Hey, he's lucky to be alive, walking around and playing NFL-level football.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to Ron in Poolsville. Hey, Ron, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Ron.
Mo stole a little bit of my thunder, but look, Alex Smith, he'd be a fantastic guy in the booth. He'd be a fantastic quarterback's coach, maybe one day a head coach. But he doesn't have to prove a thing as far as I'm concerned. And I don't want a Hollywood story ending because the risk is too great for this franchise for him to go out on the field with the name change and all the other stuff, the politicalization of our team, for him to get hurt all of a sudden, because you know what the out-of-town media is going to say. Why would they risk this guy's life playing blah, blah, blah? That's what would happen.
Because he wants it. He wants it. And what if he wins the job?
Guys, Michael Jordan wanted it when he came to the Wizards, and he wasn't Michael Jordan, was he?
So, well, it was still fun to watch.
Well, Alex Smith is not a guy to put people in the seats because there's not going to be anybody in the seats anyway.
True.
So why are we doing this?
Again, and I'm not saying
personal redemption. Personal.
This is why you would do it if he gives your team the best chance to win. Look, they're going to go with Haskins at the start of the season, and hopefully it works out, and Haskins ends up being a star down the road for this Washington football team. Okay? But what if it doesn't work out, Rivera moves on, and he gives Alex Smith a chance, and they start winning games? I'm not saying this is a likely scenario, but when Alex Smith was playing and he wasn't overwhelming anybody with statistics, they were 6-3 at one point. They were a legitimate playoff contender, even though he wasn't throwing many touchdown passes, because he took care of the ball.
Ultimate game manager.
What if he's the best guy at reading opposing defenses? What if he's the best guy at coming up with the hot read when you need to come up with a hot read and identifying things, and the other guys on the roster don't?
Well, if that's the case, then you play him. If that's the case, you play him.
Right.
I just wonder, does he have the health and the speed to protect himself to be able to execute at a level anywhere near that he used to? If he does, they're going to have a formidable competition there.
I just have a hard time believing that Ron Rivera and company are pinning their hopes on a mid-30s quarterback coming back from a catastrophic injury.
I don't think they're pinning their hopes. I don't think they're pinning their hopes, but I think he's surprising them, and he's making himself available, and now they have options.
Right.
I don't think they're pinning their hopes on it. I think they're pinning their hopes on Haskins.
Yeah, Cakes. It'd be like, let's just imagine a scenario where your guy, the Hibachi, came back. And he says, I want to make a comeback. Now, the Wizards wouldn't say, let's say he goes to the Wizards. The Wizards wouldn't say, we're going to pin our hopes on the Hibachi coming back. But they just give him a look-see in training camp. Give him a little look-see in a preseason game. And then all of a sudden, if he starts heating it up, you might be like, hey, we got something there.
I'm not grasping. The Hibachi's going to be scorching people.
Yeah, but see, it brought you a smile anytime you talk about Hibachi.
any Hibachi mention will always make me smile.
All right, we'll continue to talk about Alex Smith and what's going on with this team. Coming up next, we'll connect with Michael Lombardi, NFL insider for Radio.com, longtime NFL exec. Always great to hear from Michael Lombardi. He's next here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.